This recording is a production of Faith Builders Educational Programs. This presentation was recorded at REACH 2015, a conservative Anabaptist ministry convention hosted by Faith Builders on March 19 and 20, 2015.
Well, it's good to be here. And about a week ago, an old friend of mine, Phil Snader, showed up at SMBI. And he reminded me, or at least said that he's the one who introduced me to the water program. I didn't have to scratch my head very long because I knew what he meant. First of all, the water program is, if you're not familiar with it, is a short-term missions training program we run during the summer at SMBI, where I teach. But he wasn't referring directly to that. He was referring to an incident where he... Well, put it this way. I was on the single staff up at NYP, and I had been serving there for about 2 years, and Phil was also one of the single staff, and it was my last day, and I was going to be leaving Sterling Lake, and they had this tradition among the single staff that on your last day, they would throw you in the lake. And I really didn't feel like getting thrown in the lake that day. I was kind of stubborn. You know, I should have gone along with their fun. But I didn't want to get thrown in the lake. So I came up with a plan. And my plan was, well, most the rest of the single staff left that evening. They went on another escapade, which I won't tell you about. And I stayed back because I was packing to go home that night. And I knew that when they came back, they were going to, that would be the time they were going to throw me in the lake. I was surprised they hadn't done it earlier in the day. I had one of the house parents on my side, and that I could go upstairs and lock the door, so I knew they couldn't get to me. But when I left my room downstairs, I just took some of the covers and some things and made it look like I was laying in the bed with no idea what they were actually going to do. I went to bed and slept. They didn't come back till 10 or 11 from their other escapade. When I went down there the next morning, there was water everywhere. There was water on the floor. There was water on the bed. There was water on the dummy. I had no idea what happened. It took me a while to get the story out of any of the single staff. They came back at about 10 o'clock that night. They decided it was too late to throw me in the lake. Too much work. So three of the guys got five-gallon buckets and filled them up with water. One of them was Phil Snader. And one after the other, they came into my room, dumped the water, ran back out. Now, I had a reputation. If I would have been there, I would have been up and out in my bed and after them in an instant, you know. So they didn't hesitate. They threw the water and turned around and ran. Three of them, one after another, bang, 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 and took off running. Of course, the dummy didn't move. The dummy didn't respond. There were some of them watching from the window. They said, "He's not doing anything." I laughed over that one. I had the, I guess I start with that story because short-term missions can be very powerful. They can be very fun. They can be very exciting. And some of the best times in my life have been on short-term mission trips and exposure. When I was given this topic, I first wondered and thought a little bit about it, short-term missions. In a lot of my experience, I've kind of reacted to short-term missions. Preparation, effective preparation for short-term missions. I forget, effective and short-term just seem like opposites, all right? Shouldn't we go long-term and be there for the long haul? Well, yeah, but I have, since I started working with the water program at SMBI, which what that is, it's a six-week summer training program where you come to SMBI for about a week and take classes in preparation, and I'm the coordinator for that. Do some of the teaching during that week and work at getting young people prepared to go out on the field. And I have seen the positive effect that that can have in lives, in the lives of the young people, and also the encouragement it can be for the mission field. I've seen both sides. I've seen it work positively. I've also seen it sometimes work negatively. So I remember Merle Burkholder saying this one time when he was teaching during the water training week. He said, "God's work cannot be done with spare time and loose change." And I guess I would say that if you are thinking of a short-term missions trip and you're using your spare time and your loose change to go on the missions trip, you probably won't get much of God's work done. What makes a short-term missions trip effective? And, you know, I'm looking at a fair amount of you are probably high school students. Some of you are older. So you're coming from different places. Some of you I know are on the field. Some of you have been on short-term missions trips. Some of you are probably thinking about short-term missions trips. So there's probably various reasons why you're here. The point of my talk is probably more geared toward those of you that are thinking of going on a missions trip. How do you get ready? How do you make, how do you prepare effectively for it? You take it at whatever angle. If you're a missions administrator, you can obviously learn as well from maybe how to make a summer effective for a team that's coming to where you're at. What makes a summer effective? Or what, I'm thinking summer because that's mostly where I work, but what makes a short-term trip effective? Is it that a team goes and gets a house built, it gets a project done? Is that what makes it effective? Is it effective if they go and have a two-week break from their home? Is a two-week vacation, is that what makes it effective? Is it having a good time with friends? I don't think any of those are really what we're after on an effective short-term trip. Some of those may happen, except maybe the vacation part. Well, it is a break, but it depends what you mean by vacation. The verse came to my mind as I was thinking about what is really the key to an effective short-term trip, and that's 1 Corinthians. I'm going to use a passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. You see on the paper that you have there, just divided it into two parts. First, developing a right attitude. And then the second part is some more of the practical stuff. When I thought about this topic, my first thought was, well, I'll give you three or four books that you need to read, and then I'll tell you how to pray for a half hour every day, and tell you how to pray, and then I'll tell you how to fast before you go, and I'll give you a whole bunch of lists. If you do this list of 10 things, then you'll have an effective missions trip. And then I thought, you know, well, then I had to take a couple aspirin every day on top of that, or, you know, give you a list of stuff to do. That's not going to necessarily give you an effective missions trip if there's some other key ingredients not in place. So I think that I am going to give you, suggest some books and talk a little bit about prayer and some of those things, but I really think the critical thing is the attitude that we go with and that we prepare with in preparing for a short-term trip. That makes the world of a difference in whether it's going to be an effective trip or not. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 5. "That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." This is a verse that a number of years back, as I was thinking about my own life, I mean, I've been teaching in school most of my life, and I love learning and knowledge. But I started realizing that if I'm not careful, my life is just going to be a bunch of facts and knowledge. And the heart cry of my life has become that my faith would not just be based on knowledge, but we might have a faith rooted in the essence of God and who He is and in the power of God. And I've become convinced as I've seen a lot of young people go on missions trips in the last number of years, that really that is the heartbeat and the cry of people who are going on short-term missions trips. I mean, if you want a 2 or 3 week vacation, there's lots of things that you can do in the stateside that, you know, can be a whole lot more effective with vacationing than going on a missions trip. So why do you choose a missions trip versus something else? It's because there's something deep inside of a person that wants something more. And as I looked at this verse, I said, that's what I want for my own life. Now, there's actually two things. There's two end results here. First of all, you see you've got two sets of boxes there. The one is the right approach, and the other is the wrong approach. And the end result there is in verse 5, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men. This is the not side, what you don't want. The end result is the wisdom of men. You wind up with knowledge. On this side, the end result is a faith rooted in the power of God. Over here, it's a faith rooted. Both of them, I think, are talking about believers, but it's a different approach. Faith rooted in the wisdom of men versus a faith rooted in the power of God. So this is, I think, what we want, but sometimes we wind up over here. Now, the previous verses talk a little bit about the pathway of how you get there. And what you're going to see is critical is how you start. This bottom box is what's going to be critical in how you get to each of those boxes. One of the things I saw in my life was I was very aware of maybe issues or problems. When something would come up in my life, I would try to problem solve. I'd look for a list of things. If I can get this list of things done, then I'll be okay. And it didn't have. I wondered why I didn't pray very much. Something would come up. The first thing I'd do is I'd try to problem solve and work hard at it myself. I said, why don't I pray more? Well, okay. So what you get over here, a faith rooted in God's power. When a problem or issue comes up, you take it to God and you pray because your faith is rooted in God's power, not in the wisdom of men and trying to do it in your own way. Now, how does all this relate to going on a missions trip? Well, if you're thinking of going on a missions trip and you came here today to figure out the 5 things that you need to do so that you can have an effective and fun mission trip, then you're already over here. You're trying to do things, and you're going to wind up over here. All right? What I want to try to do today is point you down here to start in this bottom box. Now, let's just look. We should go to read the whole first chapter of 1 Corinthians, but I'm just going to jump in at chapter 2 and verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. Now, Paul is saying when he first came to the Corinthians, I didn't come. Now, there's the not. That's down. That's going to be down here. I didn't come with excellency of speech or of wisdom. Now, sometimes you might think that Paul, when he preached, would have been the kind of person who used big, powerful words that were just the right words, and he used vivid verbs and, you know, all the things your English teacher says. Well, Paul says, that's not the way I came to you. He wasn't a good speaker, evidently. That's what he's saying, at least by his words. What I put in that bottom box is simply this. He didn't come knowing the answers and how to explain them. He did not come with excellency of speech or of wisdom. The wisdom is knowing the right answers and then knowing how to explain them. He didn't have it all figured out. Instead, he says, I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's the box on the other side, is knowing Jesus Christ crucified. Now, let's think a little bit about this. How did you become, when you become a Christian, I think we all know you come to the cross, you ask forgiveness for your sins because we've done wrong. We bring those things to the cross, and now we have a new life in Christ. You know, but now I'm a Christian and I've got it all put together. I'm on my way to heaven glory. I know what I'm. Oh, now wait a minute. Do you as a Christian still need forgiveness? Do you still need the cross? The cross indicates need. Knowing only Jesus Christ. Let's put the word needy there. Paul says, I came to you, and my determination was not to come in knowledge having all the answers, but in dependence on Christ, needing Jesus Christ. When he came to the Corinthians, you'd think Paul would have known the five ways how to evangelize and build a church. He says, I didn't know. I didn't know all the answers. I didn't know how to explain everything. I determined that I was going to rely on Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ crucified. Needing grace, needing forgiveness. That's what the cross is. Now, since our topic is missions, think of a little bit about how that relates to preparing to go on a missions trip. How do you get ready to go on a missions trip? Well, you read the right books, you pray, you learn about the culture, and you learn about where you're going, you learn how you're going to help, you're going to learn how you're going to be a servant, and then you're going to... No, you got the wrong foundation already. The foundation is taking your own life to the cross, realizing that you need Jesus Christ. You're a needy person. That's the foundation of what's going to make your mission trip successful. Now, we were up through verse 2. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in strength, and I shouted, and I pounded the pulpit, and I knew what I was saying. And he was a powerful, strong preacher, no fear. It's kind of strange. Paul says, I was with you in weakness and in fear. And much trembling. I was just at SMBI teaching the principles of teaching class. And some of my students, you know, starting to teach for the first time. And some of them I've noticed when they were teaching, you know, their hands kind of tremble a little bit. Oh, that's great. That's great. Okay. That's a whole lot better than getting up and thinking you've got it all put together. Okay. That is how Paul preached. That's what he says. I don't really like that box. I don't really like that box. I like this one a lot better. Let's look at what that one is. My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. There you got the not with enticing words of man's wisdom. The idea there, the word enticing means, has the idea of persuasive. And again, the word wisdom there has the idea of intellect. I put in this box persuasion and intellect. Here, you know the answers. You know how to explain the answers. You've got everything all put together. You are able to persuade. You're able to use your intellect. And then this is what you get. You get a faith based on knowledge of man. And it's kind of dry and dull and boring. No power. If you want this one, you've got to be needy. You've got to know that you need Christ. The best people going on a short-term missions trip are people who come that are needy and don't have life all put together, that need something. They're looking for something, and they're open and honest about their life. That's what this characterizes. If you want to have a successful short-term missions trip, you've got to be open, honest with your life, and come being needy. And then when you get off the plane and get into the culture, you're not going to know what to do. Okay? Ha! Okay? It's going to be tough. Might be tough anyway. Now, okay, so I've been teaching at SMBI for 20 some years. I've taught some of my classes 10 or 15 times. You know, okay, so let's say that I'm going to teach the Gospel of John next term. I've been teaching that so long. You know what? I know all that stuff. I've taught it inside out. I can teach it when I'm sleeping. I know all the answers. I know how to explain all the questions my students come up with. Yeah, you know, so. Uh-oh. You see what happens when you do this one for a little while? You live this one? You know, it's easy to come back down here. Very easy. Once you've gone through this a time or two, then you think you've got it together, and then you wind up down here, and then you wind up here with a stale faith. If you want to stay alive and be real, this is a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle. It's not a once and done thing. So I guess what I'm trying to say is that I think the most important thing is your attitude as you approach a short-term missions trip. And I'm really talking about a lifestyle. If you are able to enter into this sort of an experience using this approach to life, you may have a very successful and powerful time that can be life-changing. I remember when I was a student at SMBI, I remember one of our weekend missions trips. Not every term, but some terms we go out and we send the students out on a weekend to an urban area. And I remember on this particular trip, there's a group of us, about three or four carloads, that went to New York City. And I remember getting there, and we were excited about this weekend. We were prepared, and we thought, I'm putting my own words, I don't know if everybody in the group was this way, but I really thought we kind of had things together. It was going to be a good weekend. And we were talking and laughing, and we got out of our vehicles excited, and I won't tell you who it was. One of the missionaries came out. Didn't give us a scolding, but yeah, it was a scolding. They saw our attitude. Our attitude was up here. And they knew we weren't going to have a good, you know, a couple of words and sentences. Just basically what was portrayed to us is you jump out of your vehicles, you're making noise, and you're the whole community is looking at you, wondering, who are those people? The image we were portraying was not of servanthood, of coming. We were portraying the idea of coming in three carloads. We've got it all put together, and we're going to show this neighborhood what to do and how to live. It's not going to work. We were coming with this kind of attitude. We've got the answers. We're going to persuade you. We're going to convert the neighborhood. And no. Powerful way, this missionary with a few sentences all of a sudden had us over here needy. At least he did me. And it turned out to be a good weekend. A right attitude is the starting place. All right, well, once you have that right attitude, if you find yourself over here needy, needing Christ, then I'm going to give you some practical points here. First of all, reading. There's a lot of good books, and I think that I brought along a few here. Our water students, one of the things we require of them is like to read three or four books before they get there. And I have had some of my students at the end of the summer say that was some of the best preparation that they did is reading. And got it, you know, maybe you're a student or you have a job and you say, I don't have time to read before you go. You better make time. It's very, very important to take some time to. So here's just a couple of suggestions. Now, I can't read all of these, but this is one of the books we use for the water program. Before you pack your bag, prepare your heart. It's a very simple guide. It's not that difficult. It's got about 9 or 10 short lessons, and it's sort of, you read scripture passages, do a little bit of journaling, gives you a little bit of an introduction to culture and some of the things you might experience. It's a very good, simple booklet that I found. I think there may be some down at the CLR downstairs. Another one, if you want a more complicated one, not really complicated, a lot bigger, is On Being a Missionary, Thomas Hale, Jean Daniels. That's a very good book on culture, and just gives you a lot of practical stories. That's one that I use in one of my classes. Operation World, I think that's on the list there as well. You're hopefully familiar with that one. It's a good idea to take a book like this and spend some practical time in prayer for different people groups. Depending what kind of trip you're going on, there's all kinds of mission trips. That obviously there's some where you're going to go do practical work projects. Sometimes you might be involved in evangelism. If you're going to be involved in direct evangelism, here's two books I would recommend. The NE3 approach, especially directed for Muslim peoples, but it's not just Muslim peoples. That's a good book. Here's another one, The Master Plan of Evangelism by Robert Coleman. I think NE3 is not on the list that I gave you there. I just picked that one up here a little while ago. Here's a good simple book on prayer we use in the water program, The Hour That Changes the World. Dick Eastman, he tells you how to take an hour and break it into 5-minute segments of different kinds of prayer. Very practical guide. And I would suggest if you're going to take a short-term missions trip, pick a book that kind of is radical and maybe shakes your worldview a little bit. One like True Discipleship. And this one's not what I would call it. It's radical, but there's some out there that are more radical than this one. William MacDonald's a good solid book. Another one that I would recommend is Through the Eye of a Needle, The Doctrine of Non-Accumulation by Roger Hertzler. Is another one that would be kind of in that category. Here's one, Serving as Senders, that this tells you how to serve well in your home church after you're home. That's actually another one that we use for the water program. So we're down under the learning practical skills, reading there. Another, I would suggest Bible reading, read through the book of Acts, very practical thing. Read through the book of Acts in the month or two before you go on your trip. See what was done in the early church and, you know, do some journaling and thinking about what that might mean for the people group or the place that you're going to visit. Prayer, second category there. I wrestle with this. How do you pray? Because the typical thing you might hear is that you need to pray for the missionary, you need to pray for your home church, you need to pray. You know, I could give you a list of things to pray for, and that's good. But I've been in too many prayer meetings where you have a prayer list, and you just kind of rattle down through the prayer list, and your brain's disconnected from what you're talking about, and your heart's not really in it. So your prayer time in preparation, the major thing isn't that you go through a list and say the right words. I think the major issue is, and that's what I wrote there in the notes, prayer out of neediness rather than prayer out of mastery. Prayer out of mastery is the idea that I've got this prayer list, and if I pray it, go through it, then I'm going to have a good summer, and God needs to make these things work out so I have an enjoyable summer. And I'm going to bless the missionaries. And, you know, prayer out of neediness just simply comes to God and says, I'm not sure how this is going to work out. I want to be a blessing, but I've got issues and problems, and Lord, help me. Okay? I don't have the answers. I need you. I'm going to need your grace. I'm going to need your strength. And you wind up, instead of going through a list and praying everything on the list, you know, you wind up crying, and you wind up with a relationship with God rather than someone who's trying to manipulate God and go through a list so that he has to do what you want. So I think all of this is interconnected. Meditation, the third point there. I think the key word is time on that point. Meditation takes time. If you think that, you know, you're going to work, have a job, and you're going to work up until the day before you fly, and you work 16-hour days, and then you think that you're going to hop on the plane the next day, go on a two-week trip, and come back, and then your world's going to be changed, and you're going to be on fire for the Lord, and things are going to change, probably won't work. You'll probably come back home, be excited for a couple weeks, and then you'll wind up back in the same work routine that you were before. I've become convinced that the work and preparation that you put into a trip is going to be almost directly proportional to what you're going to get out of the trip. So you need to take time. Take time to think. Take time, I have there, to think, to journal, to rest, to be with God, to fellowship with God, to have your personal devotions. Oh my, all those things are so critical. Take the time that you need. How much time? Again, there's no correct or right answer to that. If I'd say, well, you need to take an hour a day, you can do that legalistically. But having said that, I still think if you're not doing an hour a day of preparation, you should at least have an hour a day on the average. And I think if you're going to go on a four-week mission trip, you should have at least probably 3 days where you're not working, where you set aside a significant amount of time before you go to be with God and read and wrestle through this stuff. Prepare. It's very, very important. Fourth part, fellowship. Improving communication and relational skills. Do you know that the number one, well, it's always comes in, I've seen different list, but it always comes in number one or two for the reasons missionaries come home, is because they can't get along with other missionaries. That's always the number one or two reason on lists that I've seen for why missionaries come home. If you're going to go in the mission field, even short term, it's very important that you're able to relate to other people. what tends to happen is people that have bad relationships at home run off to the mission field to get away from bad relationships, and then they run into the same kind of people on the mission field. And on the mission field, you have people who are dynamic and strong and are out there, and it's the whole thing just complicates itself. You won't run away from relationships by running to the mission field. A key part of the things that we do during the water preparation week is we work on relationships and teamwork and unity. And that's a key part of, I think, preparation. How do you do that? Well, I think depending what where you're going, hopefully that the team you're going with is doing some of those kinds of things for you. But I think that doing something like a term at Bible school would be one thing. Doing some one-on-one mentoring, maybe with your pastor or a missionary. Spend some time, have breakfast with someone who is a missionary, has been on the field. Get some input from people who have been there. Intentional relationships with other people is very important. Missionaries doesn't one of if your preference is to be a hermit in a you'd like to have a cabin in the North Woods of Alaska for the rest of your life, you probably won't make a very good missionary. Mission, the whole thing about missions is people, okay? So in preparation, don't prepare just with God. That's part of it, but also prepare with other people. Other people should be involved in your preparation. And finally, there under E, I just got a couple practical points. Just a couple practical suggestions for you. When you're going, carry stuff over for people. I'll never forget going, I went down with Merle Burkholder to a pastor seminar in Haiti. And we got out on the soccer field, and he pulled out a soccer ball that he had brought along and gave it to the guys in the church there. Oh, their faces lit up. Brand new soccer ball, okay? He had thought to actually bring down something very practical and simple and inexpensive. Little, small little gifts like that for the missionaries or for the nationals go a long, long way. Second thing there, I have verbalized to the missionaries your intent. I had this happen several times, but I particularly remember one time I had a mission director come to me. It was one of the mission directors. It was the person who had picked up my water students at the airport. This person came to me with tears in their eyes and said, when I went and picked up the students at the airport, on the way home, and the first things they said was, we're here to serve you. We want to do whatever we can to help make your success. We want to learn. We want to serve. We want to give. And they verbalized the exact kinds of things we had been telling them to do for the summer. And, you know, he told me with tears in his eyes, he said, wow, that was powerful. And they had a great summer together. So verbalize your intent to the missionaries. Let them know that you're there to serve and support them. That's very critical. And finally, take the role of a servant. Don't come in as one who knows everything. You don't go in there and think you know how to do everything. The missionaries, they're doing everything wrong. It's not going to work. Come in needy as a learner, as a servant, and try to give what you can. Short-term trips, short-term exposure can be very, very powerful. My first exposure to missions was I was on personal workers training camp in northwestern Ontario. About a 4 or 5 week program. I went. I didn't know very much. I thought I knew a lot. But during that summer, I had a native person, Ronald Ray, come to me. And his father was the pastor at the church there at North Spirit Lake. And Ronald had gotten scared because of something that had happened in somebody else's life. He came to me, and basically he came up to me and said, I want to become a Christian. Show me how to become a Christian. I'd never done anything like this before. Led him in a prayer. Led him to Christ, did a little bit of follow-up that summer, and Ronald became a lifelong friend of mine. He actually eventually became pastor in the church there, became a leader in some of the native fellowships up north. Short-term missions trip that made a lifelong difference in somebody's life. some of the best experiences that I've had in my life that I've seen of students that have gone out, you can make a difference, even if it's just for a couple weeks. It can make a difference in your own life. It can make a powerful difference in the people that you minister to. The rest of that story I started with, you know, I kind of thought I had gotten the best of them, that they had thrown water on the dummy. Well, I was leaving Sterling Lake, and I wound up I was still on the summer program. I didn't actually go home. I went on PWTC that summer again. And then when on the way back from PWTC, lo and behold, Amos Esch flies me into Sterling Lake. And then from Sterling Lake, I was going to drive back down the road. When I got off that plane, I knew I was in trouble because there was a circle of guys, about 8 or 10 of them, met me at the dock. And I did get thrown in the lake. On the way down, they asked me, can you swim? And I said, no, and they didn't believe me. So they threw me into 8 feet of water, and I couldn't swim. I went all the way down under. One of them had to jump in, and Leon Kennel, a big, tall guy, some of you know him, he helped me out. I tell you that because I think that you can have a lot of fun. Short-term missions trip, you can have a lot of fun. It can be a lot of fun. You'll have experiences that you'll never forget. But you've got to go with this sort of attitude. That attitude is critical to making it a success. Okay. We might have a minute or two here. Any questions? Yeah.
If you would narrow the list of books down to one or two essentials, what would you say?
Well, it depends a whole lot on what your trip is. In general, this one here is a very simple, straightforward one that'll work for a lot of different settings. That's probably the one that I would recommend.
Yeah. Can you say something to the American who is part of a culture that feels like the world needs them, and they know that their God's gift to the world, and we tend to carry that with us in our short-term mission trips? And you talked about serving the missionary and serving alongside, but how do we do that and not? How do we, someone that is sort of living in that world and not even aware of it, go to a place in an inferior culture and enter their world in a way that's receivable?
Well, yeah, if you've got that sort of attitude, you've got a lot of learning to do. I guess I would say you're going to have to get rid of that sort of attitude to be effective, but it's maybe a complicated answer.
Well, I think it is.
Yeah.
I think a lot of us don't even know we have it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, thank you. I think my time's up.
This recording and many others are available through Christian Learning Resource, the campus bookstore at Faith Builders. Order online at www.christianlearning.org or call 877-222-4769.